Talk.
Information is crystallizing into your mind.
Oh man, we got a great show lined up here today. I cannot wait to get right into this and start it up. So we're going to have not only, of course, hopefully. Oh wait, I think we got him right now. In fact, our good friend Dave Sparky Saganaki. Dave, you with us?
We're friends.
Oh man, that's how you're going to start the day off, huh? Holy cow! Oh, gee, you know.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Dave Tech. What am I? I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki.
Yes,
and you're Michael Tech Talk. On his casters.
That's
how
right,
are you?
That's right. Pretty good. Pretty darn good. We just had the most brutal Halloween in recent memory, but outside of that, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we did things right at the Castler family. My son went as David Tennant, Doctor Who, and so my young daughter went as a Dalek so they could battle it out in front of every house. They had... had a lot of fun.
And did anybody get that?
Sadly, no. No. My daughter was complaining. They had a Halloween parade. She's walking around. She's got a plunger at every house she went up to, practically, too. You know, because if you look at the original Dalek, they've got like it's like a toilet or a sink plunger and an egg beater. And so every house, they're like, oh, that's so cute. You're a plumber. And so,
wow.
You know, and she's nine. I had to prep her. I said, you know what? If they say that, you tell them, you say, I am the plumber of death. Exterminate, you know, and go, at least do the whole thing. But she had fun anyways. And, nobody knew who David Tennant, Doctor Who was either, unfortunately.
My
son said one guy. He's got a friend at school, picked up on it. And so at least he was a little... You know, had a little vilification there, but but they had a blast, and there was nobody out. It was crazy. There was nobody out. We had our pick of houses, and then we got home, shivered, had some hot cocoa and chocolate, and watched The Blob with the original with Steve McQueen.
Wow! You want to scare those kids to death?
Well, yeah. With all of the. Thumbs up on the drunken driving and the smoking and then my kids were like, how come there's no black people in this town? I don't know.
the Blob, well, I was very young when I first saw The Blob, and it scared me pretty good. And then at some point I realized that it's just, it's just a big bunch of pudding.
It really is. In fact, I was watching, I was trying to figure out, is it pudding? Is it Jello? Is it some kind of mix of pudding, like a blood pudding? but the kids enjoyed it. They did actually like it. It started off too slow, but after that, after the blob actually started to grow and ate the old man, then they kind of got into it. So
yeah, is there anything outside of geek culture in your home? I mean, do you have any mainstream culture? And how old are your children? Remind the audience. So
I've got three now. The two that were actually doing Halloween with me last night were 12 and 9. My eldest is 14 in high school. He's way too cool. He's been way too cool for any of this stuff for a long time. But the 12 and the 9-year-old, I'm trying to think, what are the standard mainstream? Yeah, no, we haven't done...
I think in order for them to fit in, you're going to have to move to, like, Silicon Valley or something.
or Aldebaran. Yeah, I don't know where we can go that will fit in. Honestly, that's that.
Yeah. You need some sort of super ultra geek enclave somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, this is one thing I want to say though about Halloween too. So this bugged me. Now, like you said, there were not a lot of kids out last night. The older kids, what's up, older kids? I'm calling foul right now. Anybody over the age of any age, I don't care what age you are, unless you're literally like a toddler, you don't come to my house asking for candy and not wearing a costume. Jeans and a coat. Come on. Or if I ask
Michael,
if I ask you and say, hey, what are you dressed as? Give me something original then. At least say something interesting. It was too cold, so I had to take it off. I'm a high school student. Michael, yuck, yuck. You know, come on. Give me something.
I'm sure times have changed somewhat, but those are actually the kids you want to make sure you take care of. Those are the ones that are more likely to have eggs in their pockets or surplus toilet paper somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And last night, those eggs, man, you'd throw them at your house, those would be like rocks. They would just go right through the siding.
The weather was bad there last night?
Oh, man. This was Canada bad. That was it was like 33, 34 degrees. Bitterly cold winds, snow, pelting with snow on occasion. I was telling my wife, I'm like, this is just how I remember Halloween from when I was growing up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, just like this. So, now there were, of course, you know, the usual tragedies and so on. I didn't find, you know, I looked around, I didn't see anything new or interesting on the Halloween scene for apps, you know, beyond your typical, using your GPS and all that. I was hoping that there would be like a best candy house tracker or something like that. Somebody should make, maybe I'll make that. There should be that.
Shut up. That's a really dumb idea. That's a really terrible idea. Well, have you ever made that mistake of being generous with candy on Halloween and then the word spreads in the neighborhood, and then you've got like, you know, the repeats, you know, and then you know they'll change their costume a little bit and they'll come back. I've done that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's not good.
They put their hoodie on backwards so you can't see their face. We've had that happen. Well, usually after my son or my daughter, my younger son or daughter gets into the spirit of giving the candy out, they love that. You know, they love candy. So everybody comes to the door. Like, oh, take two. Handfuls. That's not enough candy here. And I'm like, it's 5 o'clock. Come on, we got 4 more hours of candy to deal out here.
That's the other thing. That's one of those things. Managing the distribution of Halloween candy is so tricky sometimes. It's like things will be so slow, and you've got so much of it. You're like, dumping a lot of it just to try and get rid of it because you don't want it around the house when you're done. And then things get fast later on, and you run out, and they have to go out to the store and get more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's
the worst. That's the worst. Yeah. Do not.
And then you
like
still
that.
Wind up with tons of it. Then you buy too much, and then things slow down again, and you're stuck with a bunch of candies.
Well,
just
save
it for next year.
You're always stuck with a bunch of candy. And I had to explain that to my wife 1 year. I remember is that no. I'm not buying the Skittles to hand out. It's like, but kids love Skittles. I know, but I don't like Skittles. And I know at the end of the night, we're going to have bags and bags of Skittles. We're not buying Skittles. And and at the end of the night, I was like, see, now we've got a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups. Those I will eat. Those I like.
Michael, not everything is about you, especially Halloween.
Wait, what?
yeah, that's... Put that up. That should be your motto. Not everything is about you.
I'll make that my my wallpaper or something.
Yeah, man.
Well, we should probably talk about tech. Oh, you know, I did have one app. Okay, I forgot. I was on my way to an app here for Halloween.
Oh, sorry. I interrupted you.
Unfortunately, I didn't tell people about this, of course, before Halloween. But hang on to this. Put this somewhere. Put it in a pocket in Evernote or something. And remember, Digital Duds. Now, Digital Duds is an app. It goes on your phone, and it's a very simple idea. It goes on your phone, and it uses your phone to display on the screen various creepy costume accessory kind of things. And so, for example, one is looks like a ripped open chest with a big beating heart. There's another that's like a cyclops eye. And now Digital Duds makes their money because they sell costumes that you can easily slide your phone into, and then it displays this underneath the costume. So, you know, the beating heart would go into your zombie costume thing and show it right there. The Cyclops goes into, like, a mask kind of thing. You know, they have one that's a Terminator sort of deal. Very, very cool stuff. Now, I hate to do this, you know, but I will tell you, if you're a cheapskate like me, you don't need to buy... the costumes and the digital nud stuff. You can just use their animations. So that's what I was doing. And, you know, I have some old T-shirts and stuff. You just rip them up and a little bit of duct tape, and away you go. So
duct tape and ripped up T-shirts. Yeah, that's
it.
That's good.
Yeah
and a hacked animation from an application. That's good. That's good. That's the spirit. That's the spirit of Halloween.
That's it.
And then and the teenagers that come to the house, you don't give any candy to. That's good. Without costumes. That's good. I can't. What could go wrong in all this?
Yeah, well,
and the kids are dressed up in Doctor Who costumes. Boy, you know how to do it right.
It's better than, I could have just drawn a face on a box and put that on my head or something.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
I've done worse. I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know, you know, that there's even a ton of news or anything to cover today. We're going to be talking to, as I said, a good guy named John Miley. I've spoken to him a couple of times before. He's with Kiplinger Letter. He's going to talk to us about Apple Pay, NFC payments, mobile wallets, all the stuff that's going on with that. We've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. So I'm very excited to get somebody with that, some actual information on hand, and it can help us with that. So that'll be cool. You know, other than that, like I said, Google. Did you see Google's winding up? They're going to pay. They're going to pay because they displayed some lady's cleavage in Google Map. I don't know if you heard about that.
Who was doing what? All I heard out of that was cleavage.
Cleavage. I know. Yeah, that's about all I saw too. And I'm like scouring the web. Like, oh, I gotta see now. I gotta see what is she mad about? You know, and she shouldn't be upset. You look good. That's all I'm gonna say.
I heard Google and cleavage. That's my attention span right there.
This is up next to you. This is near you in Canada. Oh. Google now in a Google Canadian Street View car capture. Right up there in Montreal in 2009, they were driving by, and a young lady was out on her front porch, and it looked like she was checking her phone, as far as I could tell. And they got a shot of her kind of leaning over, checking her phone. Now, they blur out people's faces. That's a common thing. If you look on Google Street View and all this, you will see that everybody's face is fuzzed out, but they didn't fuzz out anything else, and she was wearing a bit of a. I mean, it's a, I, come on, you know, it's not even like soft porn levels or anything like this. You can tell that she has breasts. Really, is what
and,
it came
and
down.
And so,
to.
So this is Google Earth, right?
Yeah, well, and it's Google's Canadian Street View.
Google's Canadian Street View.
Yeah, so
the lady. Is there a lawsuit involved, or she just complained bitterly?
There was a civil suit. There was a civil suit. Yep. And so Google was ordered to pay around $2,250 Canadian dollars, which is about $2,000 American. And she had originally, however, demanded that the mockeries, derisions, disrespectful, and sexually related comments were worth $15,000 Canadian dollars, and then the dignity and integrity image right to another $15,000, all et cetera. So she eventually reduced her demand to $7,000 Canadian dollars, and then got paid out, as I said, the $2,250 Canadian dollars, all from this is all reading from Le Journal de Montréal. So. A Google translation of it, as a matter of fact. But so you can't escape Google, whether you have breasts or not. And I don't even know what to say. Like I said, I don't even know what to say about it. It really, I think she was making, I hate to use the phrase, a mountain out of a molehill, a couple of molehills. But she's a nice looking lady. She really was. It wasn't rude or obnoxious. It was, you literally, as I said before, you could tell she had breasts. That's what it came down to. For some reason, she wanted to push this all the way through the courts, got her payday.
I don't think she got very much. Actually, I see this as a new revenue stream for Google Street View. When you know, first they did it with the wrong gender. Guys would pay a lot of money. You know how crazy some. I'm not naming names, you know, but it seems like people like Brett Favre that like to show off certain parts of their anatomy. Yeah. If they could get their anatomy on Street View, they'd probably pay big monies for that.
There actually is a subculture.
Oh, no.
There is a whole thing about absolutely, Dave. You're absolutely. There's a whole thing about that. Guys and gals and whoever doing it. There was a little like street theater type of setups where they had something set up. They knew the Google car was coming by. They saw it a few blocks away or something like this. So they ran out and set it up to look like they had just committed an axe murder. There was another one. I won't even go into the details, but it was a young man and lady saw the Google vehicle coming, and they immediately pulled over to the side of the road and began, I think, pretending to perform indecent acts upon each other. You know, these kinds of things. This is a thing, Dave. People do this. They do that. I was so disappointed when I went and looked on the Google Earth on my house, and there's my wife wandering. I'm like, come on. I wanted to be on the Google Earth Street View. That's not fair. She doesn't care. I wanted to be on there. So, you know, but, yeah, you know what we need to do, though? We need to bring in Jay. Because, like I said, we've got other people coming on, too. And,
oh, sure, yeah.
See if we can get this whole thing happening.
I didn't know that about Street View, that people actually would work. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, and you can actually, in fact, there's little hidden Easter eggs. We're talking about Doctor Who. There is a Google Street View TARDIS that you can go and you can actually go into, and it's much larger on the inside.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Garman.
Long time no see, gentlemen. Well, actually, I still don't see you. Long time no hear.
Yes. Well, it is a long time no see, too.
That's a good thing, actually.
It's very apropos. We were talking about GPS and navigation, and then we got Mr. Garman on. Different Garman, spelled differently, but...
Yes, which has made getting, domain names for me not easy at all.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, absolutely. but jgarman.net, that works. That's close enough.
Yep.
I think people get that. Welcome. Thanks for joining us, Ben. Actually, several weeks since the last time we spoke. In fact, I was just typing in the. I had this huge problem with our servers where we had a PHP injection hack. Everything was shut down for days. I had to go through manually and try to resolve some of the WordPress injection issues that we had. Anyways, long story short, I was just recently, actually, in fact, was in doing the trivia from the last time that we spoke, and it was a while ago. It was quite a while ago. How have things been since then?
Pretty crazy, you know. The reason I have been absent for most of these shows has been due to the fact that my daughter has been finishing up her cross-country season, and I will embarrass her by saying that she is qualified for the school's team to go to nationals.
Ooh.
So the Saturday before Thanksgiving, I will be in Nashville, Tennessee, helping her with her nationals competition.
Oh, very cool. Very well. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations to the littlest Garmin. That is awesome. That is awesome. Man, oh, so cool, so cool. And I know, too, of course, you guys are big fans of Halloween, as are we. Do you have any exciting Halloween stories to tell? If it was as cold there as it was here, your stories are probably all about running from one place to the next to try and get warm again.
Yes, so it snowed during trick-or-treating last night, which is not typical for us. So my daughter's all, of course, refused to impede their costumes with any sort of coats or anything. And they left at, you know, about 7 o'clock, and they were back about 7:45. Yeah. And all the kids that we went with all came back wearing their mother's coats, and their mothers were frozen.
Oh, man, that's brutal. That's brutal. Yeah, no, I don't I don't give my coat up for anybody. I'm from Minnesota. We know the value of a coat, and It's like, look, you chose to come out here with that one. I told you, this is the way that's the way the kids learn in Minnesota. You know, if a kid hasn't lost a couple of fingers or toes by the time they're 15, they're not true Minnesota. So, what? Any good costumes? Oh, go ahead.
I will give this one kid a shout out who came to our door. He was actually in a homemade Deathstroke the Terminator costume, which is a moderately obscure DC Comics supervillain. I was very impressed that a 10-year-old knew who it was enough to home make that costume.
God. This you guys, it just is like geek ghetto.
we've never been able to have our kids coordinate costumes before, and my wife so desperately had this dream in her head that, you know, she was going to have like a Batman and Robin with my two boys, and you know, something along those lines, and so this year, though, no prompting, nothing. This was not a hey, you guys should do this. This was out of their own desires. My eldest son, of course, you know, he's way too cool for Halloween now. But my younger son and my youngest daughter decided that he was going to go as David Tennant's Doctor Who, and she went as a Dalek, and so they could battle it out at every house, and so it was cool. So my wife saw her dream realized, and I had fun and felt like a good geek dad, and then it was, you know, just way too brutally cold out, and nobody recognized them. Nobody knew who they were. They kept thinking that my daughter Olivia was a plumber. That was because because of the
I'm so disappointed in the people around Lake Heights that nobody recognized the Dalek.
I know, and she had a Dalek beanie on. Her outfit said exterminate across the back. I mean, you could. Come on, you know, somebody, anywhere I would have expected it, but almost every single house. Like, oh, that's so cute. You're a plumber? You know, one person guessed Mario, and that was the closest we got.
You guys are warping your children.
I really appreciate you noticing that, Dave. I'm working really hard at it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? What is Obamacare for if not to pay for years and years of therapy when the kids get to be 18? So
you may direct your Obamacare hate mail to nkaffler@donttextme.com.
That's right. That's exactly it. Please, let that go to the big book in the sky. I don't need it here. It was a fun Halloween, though. We had a good time, too. I was telling Dave earlier as well that I set up candy and hot cider and Steve McQueen in the Blob, which I had forgotten. And I should have found this so I could play it today. I'll see if I can hunt for it if we take a quick break later. There's actually a Blob theme song complete with lyrics, and it plays in the movie. In fact, the opening credits are the Blob.
The Lair of the Blob, yes.
Yes, yes. I had completely, for some reason, eradicated that from my memory. And it just I made them go back twice to watch the credits.
Is that next year's costume?
The Blob. That's what I told my wife. I said I'm well on the way to not needing a costume to go as the Blob anywhere. But maybe because I won't be able to pull off the Steve McQueen costume. That's for sure.
I don't know. You get enough Geno's pizza, you could probably go as the Blob. I mean, if you really committed to it now.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So that, you know, a lot of pizza, a lot of deep dish, and a little bit of food coloring. That's all it's going to take. Who was it? Hayden Panettiere there. She was working on her Blob. She should have gone for the Blob. Those pictures I saw of her with, Hayden Panettiere, of course, she was in Heroes and all that. So part of geek culture enough that I feel like I can talk about this on air. But no, she's pregnant now with her boxer husband or boxer fiance's son. But so she's been taking baby bump pictures of her all dressed up in leopard for some reason. But anyways, I'm way off topic. I don't know where I'm even going with this.
All I know is I'm not following you. So
yes.
you can go, and I'll see you from here.
It's all right. It's fine. Nobody's really following me at this point. You know what we should do? So we've got something really cool coming up. We're going to have John Miley on in just a couple minutes. He's from Kiplinger's Letter. Going to talk to us about Apple Pay and NFC and mobile wallets and all this great stuff. I want to move into that. Both of you guys, you can stick on. I would love if that happened. Make your decision, though. Either way is fine. But then, Jay, I do want to get on to your trivia stuff because it's been too long. I've been waiting. I've been itching to hear what did Linus Torvald originally want to name Linux? And who made him call it Linux instead? As usual, I've got guesses, but I'm sure they're wrong. I can't wait to hear the answers, the real answer.
So Linus Torvalds considered Linux as the name of Linux after himself, and decided that was entirely too egotistical and inappropriate, especially for an open source operating system. But Linus is kind of a fun dude, so he wanted to call it Freaks, F-R-E-A-X. For Free Freaky Unix. And that's
cool.
What he called the file, and he gave it to the server admin, Ari Lemke, to go put on the free FTP server at the University of Helsinki where he was doing this. And Ari said, that's a stupid name. did not tell Linus this at all, changed the name to Linux, and then put it out there because, like all good server admins, he considered himself the final authority on everything.
Yes. Oh, exactly. Oh no, that's cool. That's well, I think he made the right call on this one. It's tough for me to get my head around that I would have Freaks OS on my thing. I think it would have given it more of a core sort of black label, bootleg sort of feel to it as well. Whereas, of course, now Linux is a very popular operating system and used in a lot of businesses as well, all over the world. So I think that was the right call. Server admins don't always make the right call, but I think that was a good one.
Yeah, well, and that has made Ari Lemke the answer to a trivia question. Like, that's all he's famous for is he was Linus Torvalds' friend who named Linux.
Excellent. See, now if I could achieve, I can't. I've already missed my chance to be on the Google Street Cam. So maybe someday I'll know somebody that I can mess with their head enough that I wind up being a mess with their life enough. I wind up being the answer to a trivia question. I'd be very happy about that.
Well, if you become the answer to a trivia question, I promise I will ask it on the air.
Outstanding. Oh, man, you have no idea the gauntlet you've just thrown down there, Jay. That now is a challenge. Oh, man, my brain is bubbling already. Well, I am not the answer to next one. I know that already. But what is the question that I am not the answer to?
Well, I don't want to bring it down too much, but I do think it's worth acknowledging that we lost an astronaut yesterday when Spaceship Two broke up over the Mojave Desert and gave us a setback for space tourism, which is a topic very close to my heart. And Mr. Witt, who is the CEO of Scaled Composites and Virgin Galactic, the company, said, I thought that the right tone, which is space is hard and today was a tough day, but we've got to stay the course. And so for a matter of perspective, I wanted to point out that a lot of people who just look into this know that we've lost 18 different astronauts and cosmonauts during space flights, and they are properly honored. But we've also lost a number of people during space flight training flights and missions. Hmm. And those two people are honored. And so counting the unnamed pilot we lost yesterday, I think it's worth acknowledging how many astronauts have we lost during space training flights.
That's a great question. Yeah. Boy, a depressing one. but a very good question. Yeah, I like that.
Well, it's an important point. I mean, if there hasn't been an accident for a period of time, we take it for granted the danger, and it's good to acknowledge that sometimes.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's sort of my thinking that we have to. And it's not just the people who obviously, give their lives during the mission. There are a lot of sacrifices made to make missions even possible. So there have been almost as many people lost in training flights as we have lost in space. We have lost 18 people in space, only on 4 missions, I will say that. So, you know, a little bonus information there. We've only had 4 actual flights of the several hundred manned flights we've ever done that have actually resulted in fatalities, that it's cost 18 people their lives, most of those on the 2 off shuttles. But we've lost almost as many in training flights. So we lost one more yesterday on Halloween. So the question is, what is the total number of people who have given their lives in service to spaceflight during training missions?
Wow, yeah, no, that is a great question. I do like that question a lot. I hope it's not too high. I hope it's not too high, but I have a fear that it probably is. Yeah, these guys do do the work that nobody else wants to do, I think, for good effect. I know that our good friend Robbie Rigel, he's going to be on right after us. Rob Schott first, continuing the Geek Block 2-hour slot on Saturdays with some science behind how and why all of that happened yesterday, and talking about how maybe this is going to affect as well our, as you said, the space tourism and the continuing space agency movement forward. Jay, at that, I've got to switch us over. Did you want to stick around while I bring on John Miley, or you got better things to do today? Can I hold on to you?
I wouldn't say better, but I have other obligations.
Okay.
So I will sign off, and I will catch up on the podcast, and I will see you guys next week,
Fair enough.
You at least.
Fair
Take
enough.
Care, Jay.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Always appreciate
right.
it. Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye.
You too, sir. Bye.
Jay Garman on jgarman.net. Always great to hear from him. All right, let's
always fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm like so far behind. I hope John is listening live here so that he so that he heard us and knows that we hadn't forgotten about him. I'm bringing him in right now. We'll see if we can connect with him and get everybody on. I don't know. Oh, there we go. All right. I was going to say, oh, please, don't die
right
now. Good morning, John Miley. Welcome. You are on the Tech Talk Show on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Raleigh Heights, Illinois. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. I've been trying to give a little bit of description of you and so on, but if you could give us a quick blurb of you and also of Kiplinger's, like what you do with Kiplinger's and what they're about, and then we'll jump in and start talking about what everybody wants to hear about, Apple Pay and mobile wallets and stuff.
Sure, sounds great. I'm a reporter for the Kiplinger Letter. I cover technology and telecoms. We write a lot about a lot of business owners, investors subscribe to us, but we write about some consumer tech as well. We're probably best known for Kiplinger's Personal Finance. It's a monthly personal finance magazine. So we do a lot of personal finance stuff, a lot of business forecasts, and, yeah, our most recent front page of our business management newsletter was all about Apple Pay.
Yeah, which of course is going to have a huge impact, not just on our personal finance, but also on corporate finance and, you know, just changing the way that people do business, it seems like, if it's successful, if it's actually adopted across the
yep.
country.
Exactly, yeah. And that's sort of how we started off our story. We said that this would be sort of the tipping point for these type of mobile payments that have been around. I think Google Wallet's been around maybe since 2011, and it hasn't really gained much traction, but we sort of see this as the sort of difference maker, game changer, tipping point, that type of thing.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's interesting just to point out in itself. I've been a big fan of Google Wallet for some time, and it's been frustrating to me that although I can store all of my, you know, like my library card is in there, and even my Starbucks is in there, and all this other stuff, I still can't really use it anywhere to just tap and pay. You know, the dream of it, the vision of it is there, but at least here in the Midwest, in the flyover states, we're just not seeing the adoption of the NFC payments. And why is this going to be different now that Apple's on? I mean, other than just that they're Apple, is there some reason that Apple's doing, is there some way that Apple's doing it that's better than the way that Google Wallet was done?
Yeah, there's a few things. Well, one of the – you're right, though. I went to a Macy's a few weeks ago. Asked they have an NFC reader, so they can take Google Wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the lady if she had seen anyone use it. She said no, and she had been there a year and a half. So – and it wasn't – it was a busy Macy's, so it's that type of thing. There's a couple things going on. One of them is October 2015 is a deadline that – sort of a merchants start to get liability, the retailers, if they don't switch over to a chip and PIN terminal. So when you pay, they need that those new chip and PIN credit cards.
Mm.
When they do that, they're very likely to get NFC readers.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a lot more stores and retailers with these NFC readers. And the other thing is that when Apple rolls something out, it's sort of a unified thing. Everyone gets it. And I think that this Apple Pay thing is very, very easy to set up. I saw someone at our work here do it yesterday, hadn't used it, and we went down to McDonald's. He bought something. He got me something, too. But, yeah, it was super simple. He hadn't used it before. They don't even notice that you're using it. So any of these places that have NFC, I think that they're going to want to do this. Now, you see some people pushing back, but I think in the end, Apple is going to be sort of the gorilla in the room for this.
Yep. Yep. And you know, maybe we should do just a quick sort of breakdown on exactly, you know, what it is. Now, for the consumer, you know, and not speaking on the tech side, I mean, really what it does is rather than taking your credit card out, swiping it, having them check your signature, you know, blah, 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 all this business, really it's about you just, as long as NFC is turned on your phone, you can just, I mean, the ideal of it is, right, is you should be able just to tap the payment sensor, press your fingerprint against it as a dual factor of authentication, and then you're paid and you're done, and that's coming out of your bank or your credit accounts. What am I missing in that part of it? I know there's more going on here, and why is dual factor authentication and a fingerprint, how is that any better than looking at a security code or your signature?
Sure, yeah. So like you said, it uses NFC, near field communication. It's just a very short distance wireless technology, a few centimeters, but you can, like, tapping is getting close enough. But the thing is, you don't want someone taking your phone and then paying with it like they can sort of do with some debit cards, whatever. The two-factor makes sure that you're you, so it authenticates that you're making this payment. Like you said, you hold the phone like you would probably always normally hold the phone with your finger on that little home button, and then you just take the top end and tap it down. It takes a few seconds, 2 or 3 seconds probably.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even need to open up the phone from that lock screen. So you don't have to open an app, all that type of stuff. And those little extra things, they definitely put off consumers. Any little thing extra you have, people won't do, because we have cash and credit card. You have other options. So if this isn't easier, then
yep,
people don't want to use it.
Yep. Yeah, and I know too. I you know, that's one thing, is it's got to be as easy as possible, because there's nothing more frustrating when I have not had my caffeine yet, standing behind somebody who's trying to figure out how to use their Starbucks app for the very first time, and they can't flip into the right screen, and they don't know how to do it. And it's like, come on. It's not tough, but just do it. So I can imagine you have the same issue if you had a bunch of hoops to jump through with your phone. So we've talked, though, too, a little bit about, you know, that Apple's going to be easily adopted, but I know there are people in large major companies like Best Buy, Walmart, a few others that are already saying absolutely not, we are never going to accept Apple Pay. Why are they saying no, and what alternative are they looking for if we've got that 2015 deadline?
So what they're working on, I believe it's called CurrentC, and I think it's Walmart, Best Buy, and like you said, other retailers have signed on to this. I think it's a couple of years old. They want to do their own payment system that avoids the fees the merchant has to pay with credit cards, and they also want to be able to collect a little bit more data on their customers.
Mm-hmm.
For now, though, they want to use a QR code, like you said, at Starbucks. People pull up an app, out comes a barcode, and you scan it. It doesn't seem as promising, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it seems to me that these companies will have to bow to Apple at some point, because, I mean, if customers don't want to use it, I mean, these retailers in the end want customers to spend money on stuff. So, and the other thing to mention with Apple is that they don't have your credit card data in the phone, and the merchant, when you make a payment, doesn't get your credit card data. So it's encrypted. It has a sort of a code that pings to your credit card, but there's no credit card data there.
Mm-hmm.
So if a large retailer had one of those breaches, one of those data breaches, they actually wouldn't have your credit card info. Mm-hmm. So I think that people that are getting nervous when they hear Target, Home Depot, others are going to say, well, hey, if I use this, I protect myself. And I think that's a big thing too.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point, I think. And I'm hoping that that will spur adoption of it, is that and definitely correct me if I'm wrong in my understanding of how the transactions occur. But if you're using your credit card, you go up and you swipe it or you type it or whatever, they're actually holding that credit card number, and they're either processing the transaction immediately, but they're using the credit card number itself, which, as we know, is something that is vulnerable to usage elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then that's passed back and forth. Hopefully the transaction itself or the transmission is encrypted, but sometimes not. And also, too, many of these companies will hold that card number in their system for some period of time. With the NFC, the only information that's really stored or transacted is the specific transaction identifier number, which is essentially an arbitrary, useless number to anybody because it's a single-use number also. And then once, if that's stored or not, who cares? I mean, if you get it, it's not like you can use that again to do anything else.
Yeah, that's the way I understand. That's the way it works. And I think, I mean, Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, he's a great marketer too. And he even mentioned the thing people might not even have thought of. When you take your card out and hand it to the person making it, your card is visible. The numbers are visible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the projected future of folks wearing Google Glass so they can quickly snap a photo. But, I mean, that is a moment of risk, I guess, when you take your card out.
Oh, that's, I just got a great idea for a new app to write. automatically scans your environment for credit card numbers and then copy them. No, oh man, yeah, and that's a good point. And of course, that comes hot on the heels of there were the issues with using keypad entry to your iPads and other devices. Again, because Google Glass, even if you try to hide that or hold it away from someone, Google Glass can record that information, can record a video of you entering your keypad code and duplicate it. And I think it was like a 95% accuracy ratio on interpreting what that was. And you would never even know that it was happening. So there is this extra security. And we've heard it all before, of course, about how this new things are going to be more secure and better for everybody. It does seem like this has an opportunity to actually be more secure. What is that going to mean for us? If this really starts being adopted, an NFC and using our phones for any kind of payment, and we really trust it at some point, what else is going to change? What's going to happen for us?
So I think in terms of payments, if you're using this and it works like it should, and it works like it can work, which means it's more secure than credit cards, it's going to make people more comfortable making these payments. You might not, when there is a data breach at a retailer, you might not have to deal with the fact that of replaced credit cards, etc. But ultimately, I think that it's going to sort of create more interest in that sort of buzzword in Internet of Things. So I think when you're using NFC, there's a lot of different other applications you can use it for. For instance, right now you could go to Home Depot, you can buy a lock for your front door, and then you can open your door with NFC. So you can use that same type of thing to open a front door, open car doors, set up Wi-Fi, obviously share information between phones. So NFC is not new, but getting people to use it to pay is new, and I think that's going to sort of bring all these other things into play.
Yeah, wow, that is a cool vision. If you can imagine that is, you walk to your car, and it's open for you already, and you get in, and it starts before you've even put, you made any motion. You go up to your house, and the door is open for you and locked for everyone. I mean, it just seems like a very kind of cool thing And I know that we have some of those capabilities already, and they're just not being used yet. But boy, that that would be a pretty a pretty neat world to live in, I think.
Yeah, Apple has a HomeKit. I mean, obviously, you can sort of see their future plans. I think like Google and Microsoft, those type of companies want to get that type of thing in the home. The other cool thing with locks is you can send a lock to someone else or whatever, to a family member. Or if you have a rental property and they during the summer and they only rent for a week at a time, mm-hmm. you don't have to change locks because you can just give them one that lasts only a week. So you sort of have a little more security. I mean, there's never 100% complete security online. So I guess I'm not trying to say that it's completely impossible for this to be hacked because there is that possibility. But, mm-hmm. I think that at least with NFC payments and these other things, if done right, they can be more secure than the previous way. Yeah. But, people just need to get the smartphones with NFC and start using them more.
Yeah. Well, and that's with the door lock stuff, that is a very cool thing that you can do. Not only can you give people temporary locks or different locks, but everybody, of course, would have their own unique NFC ID and user ID. You'd be able to tell who's coming in and who's coming out. I know I use I don't have my little bell here to go ding ding, but ding ding, I use SimpliSafe at home is my home security system. It's somewhat automated, not totally, but the cool thing you can do with it is you can actually add little like lock detections of door openings and things, and you can add them if you've got like a liquor cabinet. You know, you could put it right on your liquor cabinet. And like, I know whether the kids are getting into the booze or not. Now my kids aren't old enough to do that yet, but maybe someday I might want to know. This would be really easy to use with the NFC, and of course you got kids with their smartphones already and things, anyways. So yeah.
Well, one of the things I read that was a potential application was if you're lucky enough to have a company that allows you to have some free snacks, you could put an NFC. Lock on the refrigerator in the office, and then you could sort of that's how people would get into that.
Yeah, and tie it into the healthcare program so that, hey, Fatty McGee, you got that's one too many candy bars for you, and lock them out.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm way off on the non PC side of the world here. I know, but
why do you guys think that Starbucks has had so much success with implementing NFC? An article appeared yesterday stating that 1 in 6 transactions at Starbucks now is NFC. 7 million transactions a week.
Hmm. Now, I didn't realize they were doing NFC. I always just used the QR barcode sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the way I thought it was a QR code, which I think is extremely successful with mobile payments with their app. Like, mm-hmm. 15% of transactions in the U.S., I've seen that number as being mobile payments. I just think it's whatever they have for their mobile payments is tied to their – they have a really dedicated, probably tech-savvy customer base.
Yep. Well, and they also incentivize their their customers. So, every time you use your Starbucks card or scan it with your phone, you get essentially it's like an 8% bump because every 12 coffees or other any purchase that you make gives you one free item, and it could be anything. This is the cool thing. It could be anything. You might get a coffee every day, but then every 12th coffee you get, you add on some $7 lunch thing, and even though your coffees are $2, you're getting $7 back every 12th. So I think they do a really good job of integrating that incentivization. Plus, it's very easy to use. I was complaining about early, but very rarely do I have slowdown using it, even from the people in front of me. And it just works. It's clean, it's simple, and it works.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to see the same thing with Apple. I don't think they've announced anything with the potential for coupons and other things like that, but it just seems like that's going to be something that they're going to do. And again, that's why are consumers going to use this? If you have those things in place, hey, like everyone wants a discount or something.
Now, and that brings to mind a good question, though, too. So we talked a little bit about, you know, credit cards, and it's not using a credit card and so on. How is Apple making money off of this, and how is this going to impact how much a business has to pay in order to allow their clientele to use this form of payment?
Yeah, so the way I understand this, and Apple hasn't publicly released any of this, is that the merchants, the retailers, whether it's a small business or a large one, doesn't have to pay anything extra. It's the credit card companies that are paying a tiny fraction of a percent through the payment. So Apple somehow managed to convince all these credit card payments, credit unions, et cetera. And, I mean, I think they said they have hundreds signed up. And the other thing is that these card companies are doing the marketing for Apple. They're telling all their customers that this is available. So that's basically how Apple is going to make – they're going to take a tiny fraction of a percent of some of the sales. Mm-hmm. So that's how they plan on making money. And there's a way I understand it, Google doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. So Google Wallet doesn't do that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, which I found interesting. And actually, in fact, it kind of compelled me to get on board the Google Wallet payment piece. I was hoping that would help it have more traction, and it hasn't, unfortunately. I think because of that chicken and the egg issue of you got to have the equipment in the store to use it, and they got to buy that, you know, that kind of thing. But the other thing that Google Wallet is great for is it attempts to be, anyways, a little more comprehensive than just a, you know, a payment center. As I said, you can store gift cards. You can store, you know, any type of barcoded card that you have, your loyalty programs for your hotels and your airlines and whatever else that you normally have to, you know, drag a stack of plastic around with you or you know, attach them all to your keychain. You can just use this now. And I have. I've converted. I carry very, very few pieces of plastic with me anymore, even though I don't have, at most places I go, the ability to do NFC. Is Apple looking, do you think, to mimic some of that universality, or are they going to stick with just the payment side?
Well, I think they're definitely going to bring in all those things, but it remains to be seen who is going to agree to Apple's terms in terms of getting in there. So they're going to have to – I think that what Google Wallet is going to sort of just let everyone – in there a little bit more easily with Apple. You're going to have – there's going to be a trade-off, but I do think that they're looking at all those same things. It's just if you look at Apple, I think right now they have 40% of all U.S. smartphones are Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't all iPhone 6s, so they can't all do NFC. But if you look ahead a few years, then you're talking about a lot of the population that will have Apple Pay and probably likely a high majority that's using it. But definitely, I think Apple's going to look at all those different types of things.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're getting really, really close here to having to close it out. Dave, I know you haven't said or asked a whole lot of questions. I haven't let you barge in. Did you have anything for John before I have to thank him and ask him to leave?
No, just thanks so much for joining the program. I've been kind of quiet because I've been getting some dropouts, and I didn't want to take a chance on air of that happening. But it's been wonderful information. Glad to hear it. It's a very important, cutting-edge thing that to address security.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, John, I know I'm going to let listeners know they can follow John on Twitter at John T. Miley. Where can people get more information about the Kiplinger Letter, about the kind of stuff that you do for them, and things about the Apple Pay and other NFC stuff?
Sure. I just think the best place is Kiplinger.com. That's our main website, so that's where all the information would be.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I would recommend that people go and at least take a look at it. Yeah, thank you, John. I can't thank you enough. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on. Fantastic, fantastic information. I have a very strong suspicion that we will be talking again, hopefully sooner than later. Have a fantastic week, and thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Take care.
Thank you, John.
That was John Miley from Kiplinger Letter. Fantastic information. Rob Rigel from Rob Chat First is chomping at the bit. He's ready to walk in here.
Yay, and Rob!
Kind of a sad day. As I said, we're going to be talking about the Virgin Atlantic or Virgin Galactic accident that happened and unfortunately resulted in a fatality. But do stick around to hear about that. Dave, I'm going to cut you loose as well. And
adios.
We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Yeah. Dave Sparky Saganaki. Thanks and shouts out to him for joining us. And shouts out, huge shouts out to John Miley. Fantastic. As I said, I am not kidding. I think we are going to have him back, hopefully sooner than later. I'm going to leave you right now with, boy, you know what? This is a little this is a little old school. Going a little old school here. I'm going to do some cut copy. Need You Now. No. Let's do this. Let's do Let Me Show You Love. Let's do that from Cut Copy. And don't go away. You got Rob Schott First coming up in just a moment. You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Have a great week, everyone.
This information is crystallizing into your mind.